Well, I would appreciate your prayers, need the Lord's help this afternoon. Feel that it have us to continue the burden that we tried to express this morning about the spirit of man. I'd like to resume in the book of Ephesians. Second chapter of Ephesians. I read part of this morning. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We talked about how man is more than just a one-fold being. Man is much more than what you see on the outward, consists of much more than the behaviors that they demonstrate or exhibit. There is something of God that was put within each one of us, our soul and spirit. As Hebrews talks about, that the Word of God is able to pierce even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. He's able to help us to discern and understand those things that would motivate why I act the way I act, and those influences. And there is certainly an influence at work in our world today. The prince of the power of the air that influences those who are influenceable, those whose spirit are open and yielded unto and serving him. He's able to influence them and guide in the direction that he wants them to go. You know, the Lord wants to do the same thing with us. The Lord wants to influence us in the right direction by his Spirit. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. No one special. No one different really than anyone else that was born on the face of this earth. That's not what our salvation is based upon, is our hope that we're somehow different than other folks in the world. We all stand in the same desperate need of a Savior. And it said we all were this way in times past. Oh, but God, who is rich in mercy, for the great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're by nature the children of wrath. I want to think a little bit about the context of the spirit of man. I want to think about our nature. We can look out of the animal kingdom and see the nature of animals. You see how it is just instinctive to an animal to behave certain ways. Doesn't have to be taught them. You can take an animal that is orphaned from just a newborn and raise that animal even inside a home or a rehab center or something, and raise that animal, and the time will come that that animal is going to do what it is inbred and instinctively just part of its nature. The squirrel's not going to jump in the river if he's raised with ducks and go swimming with the ducks. There's going to come a time if something in his nature just wants to go climb that tree. There's something about the nature of animals. Well, we have a nature as well. We who were by nature the children of wrath. Well, I want to think a little bit about Humphrey. Humphrey was a hippo that a South African farmer, an army major, rescued from a flood. He got a hold of him when he was 5 months old. I don't know what you think of hippos Cute isn't usually one of the first adjectives that comes to my mind when I see a hippo. But maybe they're a little cuter when they're young. I know whenever the Cincinnati Zoo had a baby hippo that was born, it was a big deal. Ice cream companies were making ice cream named after this baby hippo, and it made the headlines and lines of people that wanted to go see this baby hippo. Well, this man saw a hippo that was in need and decided to adopt the baby hippo, and took it to his farm and began raising it. Spent a lot of time with Humphrey, so he dubbed the animal. Humphrey became his friend. They, as I said, spent a lot of time together. He would go and swim with Humphrey in the river. And as Humphrey grew, he would allow his owner to climb up on his back and swim through the river on the hippo's back. The owner, his farmer, would explain to people that Humphrey is just like a son. He's just like a human, he'd say. He said, there's a relationship between me and Humphrey. And that's what some people just don't understand. He said, he's a lovable, gentle giant. And he explained to people that, well, as Humphrey began to grow older, began to show some tendencies that he wasn't taught, began to break out of his enclosure and chase people down the golf course. But the owner wasn't too afraid of it. He said, just the sound of my voice. Remember, he has a relationship with Humphrey. Just the sound of my voice will lure Humphrey back in. Well, that is until the day that Humphrey did what hippos do. One of the most dangerous wild animals in Africa. He turned on his owner and killed him. This animal that he swam with, that he had a relationship with, that he thought of as his son, there was something that came out in that hippo that was very contrary to that, and it cost that owner his life. Well, what does Humphrey have to do with the spirit of man? Because I want us to realize that the spirit of man, that there is something about us and about our nature that animates us, that motivates us, that influences us to do the things that we do. What is it? We'll be influenced by something. We talked about this morning how it is so hard for us to see our own nature. We need the word of the Lord to be able to pierce to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Lord, help me to see the difference between, well, just speaking the truth and being harsh and hard and vindictive. Lord, help me to see these differences in me. I can see them many times in other people, and I might look at it and say, that's ugly. That's not the way to act. But you realize what we can see in other people and say, that's so ugly. I can look at it in my own life and say, well, we have a relationship. Well, there's a reason for this. I'm justified in the way I act here. We need the Lord to be able to help us to see and understand our own spirit. We read the scripture where Jesus spoke to his disciples who wanted to call down fire upon the city of the Samaritans. And he reproved them and said, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. You're not able to see yourself. You're not able to discern what it is that's really motivating. You can look at it and rationalize it and excuse it and say that they need to hear it. They deserve it. They earned it. Well, it's just the way it is. But he said, you don't know what's motivating the things that you're doing. And it's not the love of God. Because he said, I've come to save men's souls. not to destroy them. Oh, in the world today of so much animosity and hatred between races, political parties, and on and on. You know, the Lord has something different for His children. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. I don't want to just be just the way I am. You ever hear people say, well, that's just the way I am. And you're just going to have to get used to it. You're just going to have to deal with it because that's the way I am. You know, Jesus came to change the way we are. He came to change who we are and the way we are. And I want to look at some scriptures pertaining to that. Let's turn to Isaiah, the 11th chapter. Isaiah 11 and verse 6 says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." What's this talking about anyway? There are all kinds of ideas behind this. All kinds of philosophies of a kingdom to come in a future age in which you might see it on a greeting card or a religious picture or a poster, a picture of what was a ferocious lion and lying right next to it a little lamb. What was it that the Lord was addressing here? Through the prophet Isaiah, the gospel prophet, he began here by saying, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Well, who's that talking about? None other but Jesus Christ, who was the seed of David, and he's prophesying of this time. "He through whom the spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, making him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears." There's a different kind of judgment that he comes forth with. It's beyond what you hear with your ears, what you see with your eyes, as we talked about already. The spirit of man is deeper than what you can see at the surface level. We can learn behaviors of how to conduct ourselves around other people. We can learn behaviors to mask the way we're really feeling. But I want us to realize today that Jesus came to do more than to put a mask on us. He came to do more than to put sheep's clothing on a wolf. That's what religion does. The religions of man can teach you behaviors. They can teach you the way that you're supposed to act by some set of norms or expectations. But what Jesus was coming to do, was coming to do and has come and done, was to set up a kingdom of a different nature. Well, that's a study, or many studies in itself. But Jesus said that the kingdom is here and it is now. It comes not with observation. It's not something that people will say, "Lo here, lo there." For lo, the kingdom of God is within you. That kingdom that He came to establish that is different than all the other kingdoms of the world. Jesus came to establish this kingdom within our hearts. And so that's what this is dealing with. It's talking about, yes, a kingdom of peace. A kingdom where creatures can dwell together in harmony and, can I even say, in love. One for another. So why does it matter if a lion and a lamb will be able to to lie down together. How is that an accomplishment that Christ came and shed His blood for? It's important for us to realize that the language that He's using here, this prophetic language, is language that is common throughout the Word of God. For example, Jesus said, "Ye vipers, ye generation of vipers." No, they weren't snakes slithering on the ground. But He was imparting a powerful message to them about their nature, about their character. He said, what was it? "Go and tell that fox Herod." Well, Herod wasn't a fox. But there was something about Herod's nature that resembled a fox. Then it wasn't a compliment. Jesus said, "Behold, I send you forth as lambs among what? Among the wolves." As lambs among the wolves. You see, they use this language to impart to our understanding something about the nature and the spirit of man. If you're like a fox, it says something about your maybe sly and cunning and maybe a little deceitful nature about you. If you're like a wolf, what about that? The story I shared of Humphrey is one that, if you do much research, you'll find many, many other stories like it. Grizzly bear, or maybe it's black bear. Lady rescued from a cub. Cute little things when they're young. Little cubs grow up to be big bears. And she kept and petted and fed and grew this bear until it grew to eat her, to kill her. Snakes. If you have a pet snake, then enjoy carefully. Story of a woman who, Florida, who kept a number of snakes in her house. One bit and killed her. Another young couple that had a python in their house, covered just with a comforter over the cage, little blanket. And a snake slithered out of its cage, went and coiled itself around their little toddler, and killed it. And you look at that and think, well, it was so cute. We had an understanding. It knew not to do that kind of thing. But I'm going to tell you, there's a nature. There is a nature that comes out, that manifests itself in time. And that's what happened in these cases to these individuals. And I want us to realize that the spirit of man, oh folks, we need a Savior. We don't want to be by nature as the children of wrath. I don't want to just follow my natural instincts. I'm going to tell you what I see the Lord has shown me about myself. If it wasn't for the Lord, my wife wouldn't want to live with me. My children wouldn't want to. You wouldn't probably want to be around me. And I can say, well, that's just my nature. You're just going to have to deal with it. Well, that's just the Doolittles, or that's just you fill in your family name. That's just the way we are. Well, we've always been just say what's on your mind. You're just going to have to deal with it. What he's talking about here in Isaiah is that the nature of creatures. Jesus didn't come to die for the lions and the lambs and the bears and the rattlesnakes and all of that. He came to die for you and me. And that's what His blood atones for. And that's what He's dealing with here, of the nature and the spirit of man. That the person who Jesus might have looked at when He walked and said, "You're like a fox. You're like a wolf. You're like a viper. You're vicious. When you open your mouth, it's for nothing but to just strike and hiss, and the venom that comes at you, you're just like a viper." But if you look at what Christ came to do in this kingdom of peace, is that the child would be able to play with that rattlesnake. or that person who was just like a viper. When Christ establishes his kingdom in their hearts, he came not to disguise the nature. He didn't come to just change the clothes of our spirit and teach us how to just behave ourselves around the church so that they don't see our real nature come through. But he came to change our spirit. He came those who were vicious, those whose nature was to be like the wolf, always preying on other people and their vulnerabilities, or the lion the same way, just the apex of the predators, and I'm going to rise to the top no matter what, and whoever else at the expense of anyone else in my way. You know, the Lord came to change those natures, those spirits that are within us. He came to change that spirit that would trample over others at any expense and turn that into a heart and a spirit that's as harmless as a dove. Do we believe in the power of Jesus Christ? This is what he came to do. So what is our nature? What is our spirit? The Lord knows. If he were to call us a nickname, what would your nickname be? What would mine be? If he were to name us by the spirit that we exhibit, think about dear old brother Peter. He thought he knew himself pretty well, didn't he? Came down time, Jesus was about to be crucified. Jesus says something about disciples betraying him. Oh, Jesus, these other guys over here, yeah, I could see that. They might, but I'm going to tell you, never me. I know myself. I know my heart. I'm never going to be one of those ones that deny you. The same Peter, and among others, who were debating going down the road, who's going to be the greatest? Oh, well, here's why, as I've said before, I don't think Peter was arguing for why John was going to be the greatest. And I don't think Thomas was arguing for why Peter or one of the others was the greatest. I think it was each one of them, just like our human nature is, it's about me. And I'm out for myself. I'm out to watch out for myself. I'm out to protect myself. I'm out to promote my interests. When it comes down to it, Peter saw something about his spirit that he didn't realize was there. You know not what manner of spirit you're of. Just a short few hours later, there's that same Peter, cursing and swearing and denying that he ever knew Jesus. Peter, what happened? You didn't know what manner of spirit you were of. You were so persuaded that why you were just all right and just fine. But Peter, I saw what was down inside of you. And the Lord sees what's down inside of each one of us. And that's the level that he wants to work in every one of our lives through his plan of full salvation, through his death and atonement for our sins, and for that precious gift that he said, I've come that you might have, the infilling of the Holy Spirit within our lives. There is a lot more, I believe, that could be said of this and each one of these things that I'm going to mention. But I want to mention a few things to you of the spirit of man. We already read the scripture this morning that said a wounded spirit, who can bear? You know, we can have a wounded spirit. We can go through life with our spirit wounded and broken. And as I mentioned this morning, we're going to be sometimes in life feel like we're bruised and battered and we've been through the storms. There's healing in Jesus. There's grace that our spirits can be renewed. The Lord's plan is not for us to have a wounded spirit. And understand that this and the other things we're going to mention, to have a spirit of something, I don't believe it means necessarily that we are possessed. We are spirit possessed. But we are under a prevailing influence of that thing in our life. So a wounded spirit is not someone who something really tragic just happened and that hurt. And I'm praying and asking the Lord to help me with it and I get victory and rise above it. That's not what a wounded spirit is. But one who has become particularly vulnerable unto and given room for that thing to work in their life. A wounded spirit goes hand in hand many times with a spirit of self-pity. A spirit that always feels, oh, woe is me. And wants to be able to get the sympathies of other people and almost feeds on being able to just sit down and just think about all the bad things that have happened to me. And it's just like, it's like a security blanket that I surround myself with, that I turn to self-pity whenever I'm in need of comfort. We can have a critical spirit. I mentioned this morning of the need to be able to discern the difference between discernment and a critical spirit. Because I can look at it and say, well, I'm not being critical. I have special discernment. I can see that problem in you, and I can see that problem in you, and I can see a problem in you, and you, and you, and you. I see all these problems y'all have. What, am I supposed to stick my head in the sand and act like it doesn't exist? I have special discernment. You see where we really need the Lord's help to be able to understand, Lord, what manner of spirit do I have? I don't want to be under a critical spirit. And we may address that if the Lord leads more further on. But a critical spirit will lead me down a path that eventually I'll get to feeling like I'm the only one that's right and everyone else is wrong. And it'll lead me into a place of greater and greater isolation from others. We can be influenced or have a harsh and a judgmental spirit that oftentimes disguise itself as, well, it's the truth. And I'm here to stand for truth. This problem I'm stirring up, it's because I love the truth and I love it more than you. And oh, how we should love and stand for truth. But you know what the scripture tells us? Preach the truth in love. In the spirit of meekness and the gentleness of Christ. We can have, as the scripture talks about, a proud and a haughty spirit. Again, that's not one where I'm tempted with a thought or feeling of pride. It's something, a spirit is something, again, that I have sympathized with. I've opened the door unto. I have accommodated. And it can really be kind of like a rut. You ever seen a rut in a road that's traveled so many times that it's just worn grooves in the road? And the easiest thing to do then, without it, you don't even hardly have to steer, it'll just slip down into the groove. And that's the way the human nature is. There are ways that are so close fitting to us that it's always just the way that I've acted. You know, we can have a sarcastic and scornful spirit. And anytime something happens, or if I'm hurt or something like that, my go-to defense mechanism is to throw up a screen of sarcasm. And I might do it with humor. I hope we understand the balance of this. We can be given to a spirit of a thing where that has become what I am so accustomed to that I just slip into that over and over. But I'm going to tell you, there is hope to the one who's a lion, to the one who's a bear, the one who's a fox or a viper. The good news of this gospel plan of salvation is that He comes to change that nature, and He comes to give us a new name written in our heart and in our spirit. The Bible talks about a spirit of infirmity. You know, we can have a religious spirit. Like, well, that's a good one to have, isn't it? We can have a religious spirit that I've personally seen manifested this way. If somebody's demeanor changes altogether when someone they know is religious comes in the room. And all of a sudden they go from telling their crude jokes and their vulgar language, and all of a sudden, well, bless the Lord, oh, praise God. And there's a religious spirit behind that thing that is a very dangerous spirit. The Bible talks about a spirit of jealousy. You know, we can be given over to a spirit of jealousy that can grow into such proportions in my life and in my mind that I can't even really function. That everything I see, everything I think about is through the lens of this spirit of jealousy. It can destroy relationships and homes and congregations. The Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear. We all know what the feeling of fear is. There is a difference between the feeling of fear and the spirit of fear. We're not to be given over to and controlled by fear. We're to trust the Lord. Yes, if something frightening happens, I'm likely to feel a reaction of fear. There's a degree of that that is healthy. But for me to be brought under the power and influence in my life of fear that becomes debilitating, that has torment to it, that I can't function and be what God wants me to be because I'm so afraid of, you fill in the blank, afraid of what others think, afraid of failure, afraid of what's going to happen, afraid of on and on and on. That can be a debilitating spirit that influences us. Well, he said he's not given us that kind of spirit. I'd like to look at Isaiah, the second chapter. Isaiah 2, in the second verse, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Talking about the mountain of Zion, as is referred to in the New Testament, God's church, the church of the living God. All nations shall flow into it, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. This is going on all around us in our world. Wars and rumors of wars. But when it comes to the mountain of the house of the Lord, when it comes to the church of God that he established and refers to in Holy Scriptures, when it comes to God's work, the establishment of his kingdom, I've used a lot of synonyms here. It says that the people who have had swords, what did Jesus tell Peter? Peter, they pulled out the sword, cut off the high priest's ear. It was his nature. It was his spirit responding to that. Said, Peter, put away your sword. Put it up, Peter. You don't need instruments of war. You don't need instruments of inflicting harm and danger and death to other people now. You're finished with that. I want you to take that instrument of war that you've used to hurt others, and I want you to turn it into a plowshare. Something that can break up the fallow ground. Something that can soften and make places that are barren and desolate suddenly able to bring forth fruit. That's what I want you to do with that sword. I want you to use it for productive, edifying purposes. You know that tongue that was used to slander and gossip and tear down? The Lord wants to change that nature and that spirit and instead make it into an instrument of righteousness unto the Lord. of edifying, the words from that tongue being words that minister grace unto the hearers. That's what I believe is talking about here. Your spears into pruning hooks. There's a useful way to use all of who we are, our personalities, those unique things about us. You know, the Lord wants to take those parts of our spirit that are against Him, and He wants to take and change that nature in our hearts and in our lives. We read about Caleb. It said that Caleb had another spirit. Well, you remember what Caleb was known for? The spies went out to spy out the Canaan land, and 10 of them came back saying, "Oh, we're just like grasshoppers in their sight, and there's walled cities, and no, we don't have a chance. This is awful." And they start murmuring and complaining, and Caleb stilled the people. "Quiet down, quiet down. Don't be afraid. Our God, yes, there are big giants over there, but our God is well able." And God looked on him and said, Caleb had another spirit. He had a different spirit about him. In the midst of our world and our, wherever our world is, your little world is different than my little world, but where the Lord plants us, Lord, help us to have another spirit, to have a different spirit than what would just be natural to this old flesh. A different spirit than the one that would bite and devour and destroy and hurt and always just look out for my own interest. I want to have a different spirit than that, that the Lord can look upon and take notice of and be pleased with. Let's close in 2 Peter, the first chapter. Second Peter 1 and 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of that divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Lord, help us to escape the corruption of the world, to escape those spirits that motivate the people of this world. Lord, help me to be able to see and recognize my own spirit. This is the work of God in our lives. The work of Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. To be able to sanctify those places about me that the Lord, and I mentioned this morning, the Lord doesn't just, while we sit by and twiddle our thumbs, the Lord just removes every trace and hint of. The Lord brought the children of Israel into the Canaan land to lead them from city to city, to give them one giant to the next giant. It'll be that way in our lives through the work, the purifying work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Lord will bring us to places that I might see something in myself that I've never seen before. So, oh Lord, and I might look and maybe I recognize that in Dad or Grandpa or my uncle. Well, that's just... And all these reasons that come in and offer themselves of why it's justifiable and well, just turn your eye, it's okay. And a religious world that condones and pats us on the back, you're all right just like that. When we know that the work of Christ and the Holy Spirit in our lives is to change that spirit, to change that nature about who we are. You pray for me. I want to have, as was said of Daniel, an excellent spirit, and as was said of Caleb, another or a different spirit. Amen.